John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. We know the Lord lend his blessing to the reading of his precious word.
I suppose I should check that this is working. I was somewhere recently and someone told me off at the door. Lovely old lady, she was probably somebody's granny. So I don't want to offend anybody's granny tonight. I would like to start off by thanking the Reverend Dean and the session for the invitation to come along tonight. It really is a pleasure to stand here and tell you what the Lord has done for me. And I thank the Lord that I do have a testimony to give. And I would like tonight to really testify of how the Lord saved me, and how the Lord called me, and how the Lord has used me and led me in recent years. I suppose you could say that I had a privileged upbringing. I grew up attending Bangor Independent Christian School. And as a family, we attended the Newton Arch Free Presbyterian Church. And I was sent along faithfully to the Sunday School and to the children's meetings. I thank the Lord that my conversion was early in life. The Lord used a childhood friend to speak to me of my need of the Saviour. It was just before my 6th birthday. I remember the farm. I remember realising that because I was a sinner, I needed to be saved. I remember being counselled by my friend's mother, and later that night putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the joy and peace of knowing that I would go to heaven as I understood it then and spend forever with God. And as I grew up and entered my early teens, I suppose, I got to the stage where I had the desire to read the Bible for myself. To my shame, though, as I read truth, I failed to live out what I knew to be right. And I lived the way that I wanted, and I sought happiness in the things of this world. When I had finished my full-time studies, I ended up choosing a full-time job in construction. Thankfully, I was still attending church, I was still reading my Bible, but sadly, God wasn't first in my life. I had set my focus on the things of this world, things like a career, a nice car, and the hope of having a nice house. Now working and earning money, I had even more opportunity to chase after the things that I wanted. And having my own money meant that I had more freedom to do what I liked. And so I started to combine my love for cars with a desire to make money. In the evenings, I spent much of my time looking for cars to buy and sell. In an 18-month period, I bought and sold privately somewhere close to 30 or so cars. By the time I was 25, I had my own handyman business. I had a van for work. I had 2 sports cars in my parents' driveway, and I had a motorbike as well. I got a few holidays each year, and all seemed to be going just fine. But the reality was totally different. Work had started to dry up, the toys had to go, and then in my mid-20s, the Lord really started to show me my selfishness. I hadn't been living for Him, I had been living for the things that I hoped would make me happy, and I had largely been praying for those things, hoping that they would make me happy. When I think back now, I realize that I was even asking that the Lord would give me those things, and that those things would be His will for my life. And like I said, he showed me the lack of love that I had had for him, and he effectively brought me to my knees in tears. In Northern Ireland, we kind of pretend that grown men don't cry, but I remember at times weeping because I truly felt like life had no real purpose. I had earned all these things, but the truth was none of it was making me happy. For as the cars, the business, and my dreams disappeared one by one, it didn't really bother me that much. I wasn't that bothered at the loss of everything I had. I was just so convicted about how empty they made me feel. I was convicted about how I had been putting them before God, and I was convicted that I shouldn't be seeking my joy in the things of this world. For the first time, I truly understood what the Apostle Paul meant in Philippians 3, verse 8, when he said, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Everything was now but loss for me. This word loss here in Philippians has this emphasis of that which was or is a bad deal, and I knew I had chosen the bad deal. Here I was living to find joy in the wrong things, and let me tell you, there was no joy, because the happiness I did find in them was always short-lived. The flesh always wanted something bigger, something else, something more. But Paul continues in Philippians 3 verse 8, and he says he counts the things of this world as dung. And the word for dung in the Greek has this emphasis of that which is good for nothing, something which is only really fit for being thrown away. And I remember thinking everything that I was living for was useless. It had no eternal value. It wouldn't matter how many nice cars I had, or what house I might one day own, or how well I succeeded in my career, if it was not for the glory of God, it was in vain. And so as I thought about one day standing before God and having to give an account of what I'd done for him, I could imagine standing there empty-handed, and the thought of that filled me with shame. Living for the things of this world really was that bad deal. And so as I started to let it all go and started putting God first, I truly had more peace and joy than I ever had with the things I had worked so hard to achieve. Now thinking about the things of eternity, having contemplated what I was living for, I knew that the Lord was changing me. I started to help out at the youth work and church, something that I hadn't done previously, and then I started to attend the midweek prayer meeting. About a year later, the Lord started to challenge me into the youth work and to attend the midweek prayer meeting, those things, sorry. And it was on one of those missionary nights at the prayer meeting that Norman McCready came, and all I really remember about what he said was that he was challenging us to live for the Lord. I knew before the meeting was over that the Lord wanted me to use my skills practically on a mission trip. And such was the challenge and the hand of God working on my life that night that I knew I had to go on the next possible trip. And if I didn't, I knew that I would have been disobedient to the Lord's leading. I was so convicted that the Lord wanted me to go on a trip that on my way out of the meeting, I spoke to Norman and I said that I was willing to go on the first practical trip that he could arrange to get me on. I knew that there was urgency on my heart, and I knew that the Lord didn't want me to go in a 6 months' time. He wanted me to go on the next one that was possible. I didn't know how that was going to work because it was December, and all the trips that Norman had mentioned in the prayer meeting were the following summer. But the Lord, of course, had his sovereign hand over everything, and Norman was able to get me onto a trip within a few weeks in January of that year to Burkina Faso in Africa, and we worked for a few weeks maybe, and before we came home, all I knew was that the Lord was challenging me with the desire to do more. I knew that helping out for only a few weeks in the year was not God's plan, and so as I started to pray about what the Lord would have me do longer term, the thoughts going through my head were, "I'm just a handyman, how will the Lord use me?" I went on a few more short-term trips, but it never felt like enough. I just knew that the Lord was calling me to serve him full time. And I used verses that I had learned in my childhood to call me in to full-time service. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so tonight I want to encourage all parents, all grandparents, all Sunday school teachers, or whoever teaches children or young people God's word. Keep teaching truth, because the Lord will use it for his name's sake. And it wasn't long before Norman encouraged me to go over to a conference that New Tribes Mission was holding. And during that weekend conference, I was presented with the need for practical workers with New Tribes Mission. And there was a great need for a practical worker or a builder in Papua New Guinea. And so I applied for it. I was accepted and the visa was sent for. But 6 weeks later, the visa was rejected. And at the time, I couldn't understand why the Lord had closed the door. But you know, the Lord makes no mistakes. Looking back, I believe that the Lord was challenging me. Was I willing to go? And was I willing to go what was likely to be one of the furthest places from home on this earth? And when he had got me to the place where I was willing to go, he opened the door to the destination of his choice. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And I can truly say that his plans are much better than anything we could ever imagine or think. I stand here tonight not just as a living example that God saves sinners, but that God transforms lives and that God uses the weak thing. Now challenged into full-time service, I ended up working with New Tribes Mission for 2 years. I worked full-time for the Lord as a builder, first in the Philippines, and then I ended up in Papua New Guinea anyway. They were good times, hard times, and blessed times. I got the opportunity to serve the Lord in some of the remotest parts of this world, sometimes going where white man hadn't even gone before. I can truly say that I never imagined children coming up to me and squeezing me or licking their finger and wiping me to see if the white man was real or painted. I never imagined having to wash in rivers or live in tents or watch out for pirates on the sea or hike through the jungle to find other villages. I never imagined building mission houses in tribal villages. I never imagined playing football or basketball with young people who didn't even own a pair of shoes. And I never imagined traveling the globe to help missionaries take the gospel to the remotest parts of this world. But you know, today I can say praise the Lord for the great things that he has done. He is building his church, and today there are souls saved in one of those tribal locations that I got the opportunity to build a medical clinic and a mission house. And looking back, all I can say is that it really is our privilege to be a part of his work. Spurgeon once said that if God calls you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king. And the same goes for those of us who are saved tonight. We have the greatest opportunity to be a part of the Lord's work. If I was to ask you a question tonight, what is man's chief end? Many of you would know that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, young person, older person, if you're saved tonight, I want to challenge you, are you seeking to glorify God? When I first asked myself that question, I had to look up what the word glorify actually meant. You see, I couldn't glorify God if I didn't know what the word meant. But it means this, to know God and to make God known. If you're saved tonight, I want to ask, are you seeking to know God and to make God known? If you're saved tonight, you and I, we are missionaries. What is a missionary? A missionary is one who has been sent on a mission. And your mission, just like mine, is to know God and to make God known. You, just like me, have been saved to serve. Your mission field tonight may not be Uganda. It may not be some foreign field. But it is here in your home. It is here in your place of work or school. And it is here with your brothers and sisters in this community. If you're not saved, I stand here tonight not because of anything that I have done, but because of what God has done for me and in me. You see, sin has a cost. Sin has a debt that must be paid. And God loved me so much, he sent his son to die on the cross that my sin might be washed away. Jesus, loving me so much, he paid for the price of my sin, and now I can say with joy in my heart that I am his and he is mine. I can say I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you tonight? Can you say that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that Christ is your substitute, and you will go to heaven because your sins are forgiven? Can you say that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? When you go to the supermarket, quite often certain things seem the same. So you lift them up and you read their description. You see, the description tells you all that you need to know. But can I ask you tonight, what if you had a description? What would it say? Would it say believer, or would it say unbeliever? You see, it matters a great deal. It's a matter of life and death. Scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The person that believes and puts their trust in the Savior is the believer. But if you're not saved tonight and you don't have your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then friend, you're not saved from an eternity in hell. You are an unbeliever. It gives me no pleasure to talk of hell tonight, but the truth is, no amount of good works will be enough to get you to heaven. Scripture says that our best is but filthy rags. But let me tell you tonight that there is good news. There is a way by which you can get to heaven. Scripture says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That I am refers to Jesus. And friend, I say it again, Jesus is the only way. If you know not Christ tonight, then I plead with you to get right before it is too late. Each one here that is saved can testify of God's saving love. Each one in here that is saved can truly say that they would not trade their soul for anything else in this life. Scripture itself says in Mark 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My friend, don't throw away what will last for an eternity, for what here on this earth may only last for a few minutes. I urge you to come tonight before it may be too late. For the believer in here who is maybe thinking about being in the center of God's will and knowing that they are living for the Lord, I ask you tonight, have you asked the Lord what he wants to do with your life? Would you be willing to, for example, maybe go to Bible school if he challenged you to do so? Would you be willing to give up your job or your career or even your families, the ones or the things that you hold dear, to serve the Lord full time? It's an easy thing to sing the song, I surrender all, and yet not truly mean it in your heart. The Lord's will may be for you to stay exactly where you are, and praise the Lord if that's the case. I'm sure there are many in here tonight that have asked the Lord what it is that he would like them to do. Ask the Lord for his leading, for opportunities to serve him, and I'm sure he has answered those prayers. But if there is anyone in here tonight and you haven't, can I encourage you or challenge you to earnestly seek the Lord's face for his will for your life? You will never regret it. The joy of living in the center of God's will is like nothing else. When I left this land 6 years ago to serve the Lord with New Tribes Mission in Papua New Guinea, there was one thing on my mind, and that was, to my shame, that I didn't really want to go to Bible school. I had done my time in school, and well, I didn't really love school. The best part of it, I suppose, was whenever the bell rang and you were able to go home. But you know, when the Lord challenged me to go to missions, the Lord was taking me one step at a time. And over that period of time when I was away, the Lord started to work on me and to bring me to the point where I had a desire to go to Bible school. So I came home from Papua New Guinea 3 years ago, and I can genuinely say that it was and is the greatest privilege to be able to go to Bible school. To have the opportunity to learn more about the Lord really is a privilege. To not just know more about the Lord in an intellectual way, but to really see and understand more of the love and plan that the Lord has for us. is an experience that will change your life. I got the opportunity to attend Bible school for 2 years with New Tribes Mission, and I learned much about the Lord and His Word in the first year. In my second year, there was teaching and preparation for the mission field, and I know that those things will be of great value in the years that lie ahead. But while I was studying at NTM in the first year, I knew that the Lord was closing the door to serve with NTM, and while He was closing one door, He was opening another. I was at home over the Easter holidays, and I went along to the Easter convention, and 2 years ago I was challenged about the work of Uganda with our denomination. The work was something that was new for our denomination, and at the time I wasn't sure what the mission board's plan was. I didn't know if they would have any need for someone like myself, and I ended up praying about the work really for a few months before speaking to anyone about the challenge that the Lord had given me. Long story short, I met up with the mission board, and the decision was taken that I would finish my studies at New Tribes Mission and then return home to meet the mission board a year later. After the meeting with the mission board, the decision was taken that I would do a year of deputation and also attend some colleges at the Whitfield College of the Bible. And so that is kind of where I am right now. The year in school is just over. The exams are just over as well. And, you know, I don't know if anyone really loves exams, but I can tell you I don't. And so I'm glad to have them all over, and hopefully I don't ever have to do any more. But I would thank those that have prayed for me, and I would appreciate prayers for this final part of the year, though, with regards to deputation. And I've already been in around 40 churches or so, and I would appreciate your prayers for the rest that I would still have to do. I would also appreciate your prayers for the time that is left and for all the preparation that still has to be made to go to Uganda. The plan was only arranged and this last week, and it is that I would go to Uganda at the start of October. And I can tell you that it is a scary thought, but I can't wait to go. I love serving the Lord in a practical way, and I just can't wait to get back to it. Uganda is a unique challenge. Every work that a missionary goes to has its own set of issues, and, well, Uganda is no different. Normally, I would show you a video and maybe spend about 15 or 20 minutes talking about the work in more detail, but I trust that as you see the video, you can work out for yourself some of the practical needs that there are there. I'm much more of a practical person than I am of a speaker, and so much of what I will do in the field will be more practical in that sense. I have been asked by the mission board to consider my call not just to Uganda, but to any of our existing or future works within our denomination. And so as I take up this new practical role, I really would appreciate your prayers. As you watch the video, I suppose you will see that the work is fairly primitive. Some works are already underway with regards to the water situation that our brother prayed about, and they were supposed to be drilling yesterday for water for a well, but there was a few issues, and so they're going to drill tomorrow now that they've got the lorry unstuck. But there is much to pray about, and as you watch the video, I'm sure you will see what it is like. Not only are we there to do practical things, most, if not all, of our desire is really to see them reached with the gospel and to one day see souls saved. But not only see souls saved, but those who love the Saviour and have a desire to take the gospel to the rest of Uganda as well. We'll show the video now, and if there's any questions at the door tonight on the way out, I'm more than happy to try and answer them. Can't promise I'll be able to answer them, but if I can, we certainly will. And there's some prayer cards there, and some bookmarks and some artifacts as well at the door. So please take time to have a look at those and take whatever it is that you would like, a prayer card or a bookmark. And after that, our brother will come up and close the meeting.